What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. As always, great guest. We're getting Rajiv on weekly, and I'm so excited for it. We're going to talk final thoughts from Nebraska, a lot of interesting stuff there, plus our highs and our lows from this last weekend, and a lot more. All that on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings. Always, thank you for making this one of your first listens every day, your team every single day. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. And we're going to get Rajiv on, and we're making this a weekly thing. We're going to do every Tuesday. Well, we record Tuesday, so it's going to release Wednesday, but it's going to be a weekly show with Rajiv. And I am so freaking excited for it. welcome again, man. I am really stoked to kind of get this thing going.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. Always appreciate being on with you. And it's always fun to just chop it up, as you say, about Badgers football and basketball.
That's it, man. And I know a lot of listeners are going to be excited about it because we get a deluge of comments about more Rajiv, please. Where's Rajiv? Why is Rajiv not on the show? Why was Rajiv not on the reaction show for Nebraska? So I know people are going to be excited about it. And I want to start there. So Nebraska, we haven't really talked since that game. We had our reaction show, but you had some stuff going on. What was your big takeaways there? What do you want to kind of talk about with that Nebraska game? Because I think it was a really interesting game.
Yeah, it was. You know, I expected the game to go a little bit more like the Northwestern or the Purdue game rather than like the Iowa game or like a tough grind. I mean, Nebraska's not a good team. But what we have to remember, which is what I really struggle to remember, is that we aren't either. You know, we're not where we normally are. So a win is a win. 100%, that's always what it comes down to first. It's great that we're bowl eligible, but that's obviously a minimum requirement for this program. And I'm happy we did it. We obviously need to do that. The streak is something that Wisconsin fans can be really proud of, and we get to keep that going. But I feel like this is kind of the bottom for us. Like, I don't want to go any lower. I don't want to be struggling at the end of every year for bowl eligibility. I thought that the O-line deserves a lot of credit. I said that during the game in the Discord, and I got a little pushback, but I think the O-line played really well. I mean, how many games this year have we seen the Wisconsin offense get 8 or 9 yards on first down? Not very often.
Not a lot.
That was happening. And Malusi and Garendo, especially, just, of course, they played great. So O-line was really strong. I like that. And, you know, but a win is a win. It's gritty, not pretty, but gritty. And we got it done. We're down 14-3. That generally spells loss for us. And the fact that we were able to come back in the fourth quarter and win the game, I'm proud of the guys for that. I'm proud of Jim Leonard for that. But it just shows we still need to be a lot better.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I agree with you on the O-line to start with. Like, the O-line was – this was – it's not vintage Wisconsin because nothing this year is vintage Wisconsin. But, like, it's vintage knockoff Wisconsin. I don't know, however you want to put it. But, like, they actually moved the ball and ran the ball when another team knew that's what they were going to do. And they were able to put together those – long, iconic Wisconsin drives where we run the ball almost every down. We just matriculate down the field. And listen, I know a lot of fans are sick of that type of thing, but it's kind of nice to see it when you need it, you know? Yeah. And I thought the offensive line, this was their best game of the year. Against a team, like you said, that is not good. It's important to understand that. But, you know, Justin and I talked about on the show, and Justin was frustrated about, hey, it's not a good Nebraska team. We should have done better. And I said the same thing you did. We're not a good Wisconsin team. Like, right. So, you know, it's kind of an ugly thing, and we came out on top. The other thing I wanted to that you mentioned that I thought was important is the bowl streak. And I've talked about it. It's not just the prestige of being really one of the two or three longest active streaks, the third longest active streak in the country, right? But it's one of the longest streaks in the history of college football. And that's pretty dang cool. Like, it really is. It's the 10th longest streak in the history of college football that has happened like in the prime of our fandom's lives, right? Like, that's really friggin' neat. So
I mean, it's something we can hang our hat on that a lot of programs can't. Like you said, we've been able to hang our hat on the fact that we've had more wins than hardly any other than most cultural programs in the last 10 years. And this is one more thing that we can say, listen, like, a lot of schools go through ups and downs. We don't. We're pretty consistent.
Right. Our downs are still very decently, consistently high.
Head down to right now.
So I agree with you. I took that out of it. One of the issues that I had from that Nebraska game that frustrated me still was the continued, or maybe, you know, I'm going to get into that our next segment because we're going to do a high and low segment. I'm going to get into that next, actually. I do want to give you the opportunity. Was there anything else maybe from Nebraska that really stood out to you, surprised you, that's sticking with you?
Yeah, well, a couple things. One, the targeting call on Torchio. Look, I understand that
are you calling Herbig?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Herbig. Sorry. Yep. Sorry, Herbig. Nope. My fault. I understand that's the rule. I get that. But we have to talk about intent. I mean, he was trying to pull back. He wasn't trying to take his head off. And I just feel like when you eject someone for that, that's unacceptable. And he didn't deserve that. Now, if he went in, speared with his helmet and just took the guy's head out, that's different. Then okay, you can qualify that as a disqualification. But you just can't do that when someone breaks the rules. I understand that. 15-yard penalty, I don't like it, but okay. But you can't eject a guy for that. That makes such a big difference. And college football has got to make that change. And I really, really don't like it.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. And you lose him for that game, and then you lose him for the first half of the Minnesota game, too. It feels criminal to take somebody who – all these players, they work so hard to get these points, and you get 13 opportunities to do it, and you're just going to take – now we're going to take that away from you for something that you clearly – nobody can watch that and say he tried to hurt him. He clearly tried to pull off.
Absolutely.
A dual-threat quarterback. Like that – I'm not saying that – you don't get the same protection as a dual-threat quarterback, but he clearly tried to pull off of a quarterback that had been running throughout the day.
Totally. I've got some other things from the Nebraska game, but they're going to be part of our high-low.
Oh, I love it. So one of the segments, we had a couple segments we're going to try to make that we do every week. Now that I got Rajiv on consistently, you know, we're going to do a high and low segment from the previous weekend every week. Let's start here, Rajiv. I'm going to kick it over to you. Let's start with your low.
My lows. Okay, I do have a couple.
I'll do it.
First one. Passing game in general. We had 83 yards passing, 8 of 18, against a bad Nebraska team. That's simply – I was one after the Maryland game that was like, oh, the weather was bad. The weather was bad in Lincoln, but not this bad. Not to the point where Mertz needs to throw that horrific interception. I mean, Nebraska, over the six games prior to playing us, they were giving up an average of 224 passing yards a game, and we had 83. We're not that much worse than the teams they were playing. You know, we're not worse at all in some cases. So the passing game has just got to be better. And I believe in Mertz still. I want him to be our starter next year, unless something crazy happens in the transfer portal. But, you know, we've just got to make changes. And I just can't keep seeing that over and over because it's just, we're a better program than that. And especially this first half, 4 of 10, I think for 17 yards. I mean, what in the world is that? Now, I know we ran the ball a lot, and that's fine because it was working. But that should help your passing game when you do pass, because you can throw out of the play action, and you should be able to have better statistics than 8 of 18 for 83 yards. Big low for me.
Yeah, that's very similar to my first low. So I'm just going to add a tiny bit to it. The passing game, that doesn't look like football in 2022 with that type of statistical output. It looks like you're playing in the 60s or something. But the other thing I'd add on to the offensive woes that really frustrated me is there is an inability or just an unwillingness to put the ball in playmakers' hands on this offense. And I've talked about Grendel so much, I'm not going to say it again, but it's also, it's also stuff like, you know, we run one jet sweep and it'll get 27 yards or so. And then we just literally never go back to it. You know, it's kind of just mind-blowing to me. There's things that work occasionally. Try it again. I swear to goodness, the wheels won't fall off if you run two jet sweeps in a game.
And if I can just say one thing on the jet sweep that drives me crazy is, why aren't you, if you're not going to run it, why aren't you faking it? Why aren't you putting a guy in motion, not giving him the ball, handing it off to Allen or Garendo and letting him go? That's fine. Give the defense something to think about. Exactly. Just like we give the offense something to think about with the way we play defense. Just do something different. Even if you run it once a game, I want to see that run action multiple times.
Well, and especially when you've shown it, right? Like,
yes,
like you said, you've run it once, it was successful. I swear to goodness gracious, You're not playing four Dick Butkuses here. If you put a guy in motion, there's going to be linebackers taking false steps. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, just do it. Oh, so well, give me another low if you have another one.
Yeah, well, the other one was going to be the Herbig targeting call, which I already kind of talked about, and I just feel like that's a low, not only just for our game, but just a low for college football right now in general that really needs to change. This is a huge industry. College football is a big deal, and been having players in games is a big part of it, and having players not miss the first half of the following game is a big part of it. This needs to change.
Yeah, I 100% agree there, and not even a whole lot to add. Let's kick it to the highs. What was your big high from this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm going to get on top of the defense. I mean, three games in a row, we've kept our opponents under 200 yards. We're playing in a bowl game because of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, nothing else. Like, that's just a simple fact. The defense continues to make plays that just continue to impress me every single week. We are going to miss Keanu Benton so much next year. He is such a monster. I love to see him take on two linemen and just go, yeah, just get out of my way. I'm going to get to the quarterback. I'm going to get to the running back. And I absolutely love it. And I just feel like, I mean, that defense, no matter what position the offense puts them in, they come through. You know, yeah. I mean, and look how many points they're giving up. They gave up 14 points in Nebraska. We should be able to score 28 points on them. That shouldn't be on the offense at all. The defense does their job every single week. Let's give them credit. They are fantastic. It's the best part about watching our team. And it's something that I get excited about the most. And they deserve so much credit for these six wins because it's all on their backs.
It's very well said. They've really gotten better throughout the year, right? Really around that Purdue game when Alexander Smith came back, some of the younger pieces started gelling and they've taken off. They've been incredible. Keanu Benton is a stud. He looks like sometimes you see those videos when a tourist gets too close to like the buffalo in you know, the Yellowstone Park and the buffalo just kicks them around. I mean, that's like Benton sometimes when the wrong offensive lineman gets in his way. He's going to be so, so missed. Because there's not a replacement on the roster for him. My high, really, I boil it down to one word: resilience. Like this, I'm telling you, who thought really that this team was coming back down 14-3 with the way the offense had played?
Yeah, totally.
I didn't. I mean, I was there for it. I never turned games off except for one. I turned one game off in the history of my Badger fandom. But I'm there for. But that was such a resilient fourth quarter. We talked about the Graham Mertz, the passing game, the struggles. I mean, at least he didn't pack it in, right? He stayed at least mentally engaged, and the defense was on point. The offensive line was incredible. So my high on that weekend coming out of it was just what a resilient fourth quarter performance.
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, you said it right. They showed it, and that's why we got the win. One of my other highs is the two-point conversion call, and specifically the play call. Do you know why I love that QB draw? Because we don't ever do it.
Mm-hmm.
What a great call. I know it didn't work. I literally read for the play. When I saw that play didn't work, I'm like, I love it. I love the play call. I put it in the Discord. I was chatting with Scott about it. I'm like, what a great play call. We need to do more we've said unpredictability how many times on this podcast. That was nice to see. And I didn't want to just see, you know, Allen going up the middle. I didn't want to just see that was exactly what we needed. I love the play call. And that was a big high for me. I want to see more of that against Minnesota. I want to see more of that going into next year.
I love that point right there because the result sometimes dictates so much of what we think of, right? If a play works, it's a good play call. If a play doesn't work, it's a bad play call. And I think you really have to look at the process and you really have to look at the situation, what goes into it. I love the play call too. Yeah. Like it was unique. It was different. It didn't work. Sometimes good play calls don't work, but I love the call to go for two both times, right? Both Jim Leonard times going for two. The second one was obvious, but the first one, I thought that was a great call and didn't work, but I'm happy with it because I like the process and the thought that goes into it. Like there's no way Paul Chris goes for two that first time. And listen, the way the game played out, it kind of almost bit us, but I still really like it. And I agree with you. I love the play call.
Totally. I have one more high. It's the fact that we just posted the Jim Leonard job. I mean, sorry, the Jim Leonard job, the job head coach of Wisconsin. I love it. You know, I've said on this show several times that I was one of the people that wanted the interim tag removed because it provides stability to the program. I think it's pretty clear now. The job's going to be his. I'm glad we did it. Let's get it done. Let's move the program forward.
Listen, the program will definitely move forward and remove a lot of the gray area now that the coaching job is essentially done, right? Like, we know it's going to be Jim Leonard. The tag is coming off. The job's been posted. I have said in the past that I wish it would be either they had done it early or they had waited till the offseason. To me, this feels like a weird middle ground, and I don't know what you gain by waiting until now, right? Like, if it was going to be Jim Leonard and you just needed to see a couple games, I don't think these games were that big of a deal. I think you knew who Jim Leonard was, and you sacrificed some of the recruiting class and some momentum because of it. So I hear you. Like, I'm super excited for Jim Leonard. I think the timing of it's weird. I would have preferred McIntosh just do it early in this case.
I agree. I mean, you're 100% right. He should have just done it before because we didn't get anything. The only thing maybe it gains is a little optics because it came right after a win. So other than that, there's really not much there.
Yeah, the optics part is certainly something that maybe McIntosh was waiting for a win to kind of say, all right, now let's – or even the bowl thing. Listen, that's something we were on the show with Zach, and he said, I think they're going to wait till they're bowl eligible to make the move. And
yeah, Zach called it. He did. I mean, he was absolutely right.
He absolutely called it, and I think both of us kind of disagreed with that as like a benchmark to post the job, but Zach called it, and it kind of seems like that's what happened. Coming up, we are going to talk chopping it down, Axe Week, one of the best times of the year for Badger fans and even for those Gopher fans. We're going to talk about that, the importance of the week, what we're looking for in the game, and just really just talk the rivalry in general. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. Keep Rajiv here, as always. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at LinkedIn. These days, you know, every new potential hire, everything you're doing as a small business, getting people in the door it's stressful and it's high stakes. You can't afford to bring in people that aren't going to fit into your culture, that aren't going to fit into your business. It's hard to find the right people, and it's hard to get rid of them if they're not the right people. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's something I've used. It's something my company uses. We use it to network. We use it to grow our intellectual network. It's the largest professional network in the world for a reason. They have simple tools, screening questions to ensure that the right people are interviewing for your job. Nobody going in there that has no business wasting your time and wasting their time, quite frankly. It is win-win, and it's why small businesses continue to rate LinkedIn Jobs as the number one spot in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockdowncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockdowncollege. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. I want to thank everybody again for tuning in to Locked On Badgers. We have a special challenge this week. Bring Rajiv in. I don't even know if I've told Rajiv this, but Locked On Gophers, Locked On Badgers, we're doing a Locked On challenge. Who can get the most new subscribers this week? Which channel? So listen, I'm not one of those shows who really goes out of my way to ask, like, subscribe, please subscribe, you know, hit that button. I try not to do that because I think if we build the right community, it'll kind of organically grow, which it has done, and I love it. But don't let me lose to the Gophers, okay? Listen.
In anything, of any kind, we can't lose to the Gophers.
Please, don't let me lose to the Gophers, okay? So if you're watching the show, you enjoy the content, take a second and this week to hit that subscribe button and help the show. Again, don't let me lose to Rob Kane of Locked On Gophers, okay, please. So hit the subscribe button if you like the show. I beg of you. I will never beg of you for subscribers again. Okay, so let's do it this week. Let's build it up. Let's beat the Gophers. And with that, listen, it's Axe Week, Rajiv. And what is, you know, early on in podcastum, when I was doing the BuckyCast, we had Justin and John on, and we talked about what this rivalry means to us. I'm curious what this rivalry means to you as a Badger fan.
Yeah. So I started at Wisconsin in 1999. So I've been a fan for 23 years. And, you know, at first it's kind of like, you know, luckily for them, for the most of our fandoms, we've dominated this rivalry. I think we went 15 in a row. But early on, there was a little bit of exchanging back and forth in my time at Wisconsin, and seeing the way that they used to just jet across the field, cross into that other sideline and get the axe, which I know they don't really do that specifically anymore, but that's okay. And I had, and obviously with the reciprocity between the two schools, I had a lot between the two states. I had a lot of friends at Wisconsin who were from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that both states do that, because that's great for students. But it's just, you know, there's a lot of rivalries in college sports and in the NFL and everything. But I just feel like that border battle between Wisconsin and Minnesota is just so strong, because there's so many people on either side of it. There's Packers fans and Viking fans in both states. there's Badger fans and Gopher states in both states. It's just kind of, it's such an inner, the states are so intertwined that I just think it makes it fun. And honestly, the trophy, I mean, is there a better trophy in all of sports?
Zero. No.
Not a chance. No. I mean, seeing these guys chop the goalposts, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Can I tell you, I was actually thinking about that very question. Is there a better trophy in sports? And I was like, there is not a college football trophy that comes close. So I was like, the Lombardi maybe? Nah.
The Stanley Cup is pretty great.
Only because it travels and it does. But even like real trophies, like Super Bowl, the Lombardi. Paul Bunyan's axe is way, way cooler than that.
100%. I mean, you look at the NBA trophy, weak. You look at the Lombardi trophy, weak. NHL, that's pretty sick. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
The cup is awesome.
But I mean, no, our trophy is fantastic, and I love it. I just, this rivalry means so much. You know what, man? Like, typically when we get to this time of year, we're talking about, are we going to get to the playoff? Are we going to get to the Big Ten, championship? Are we competing with anyone? Right now, the axe is the only thing we have. And I like that. Like, we lost that last year. And frankly, I had a horrible taste in my mouth after last season because of that game, as I think all Badger fans did. Now, luckily, I live in Las Vegas, so I got to go to the bowl game last year, just up the road. And so it was nice to end the year on that. But, man, that game was really tough to swallow last year for everyone. And it just makes me that much more excited about this year because – we don't have the best team, but neither do they. It's just two football teams that don't like each other, two schools that don't like each other, just battling it out for an awesome trophy and bragging rights for a year. Let's go. Let's get it done.
And you know, you have to get it because PJ Fleck parades that thing around like it's his little war trophy. They put it in this cheap case. If you've ever seen it, guys, they put it in this like cheap case at the Minnesota State Fair. The X doesn't even really fit in there because they don't actually know how to handle this thing. So they have like shoved in there. I'm telling you, we're going to get it back. There's going to be like scratches and nicks in it. They have to get that thing back, save it from PJ Fleck. And yeah, this rivalry means like this is the biggest game of the year for me. We haven't talked about this. I was raising my kid. You actually have a younger child than I do, so you can do this. I was raising my kid, and I taught him that we have this big Rand McNally map, and I crossed out the state of Minnesota, and I told him that's where like a volcano erupted, and there's nothing there. So for like the first 3 or 4 years of his life, he was growing up thinking that the middle of like this state, there's literally nothing there. I had him convinced until I realized he's going to go to school and like it's going to be this terrible, awkward, embarrassing like experience for him. But yeah, I was raising my child to think Minnesota was actually like a hellscape and there literally was nothing there. So I love this rivalry. I love the game.
I've actually like hated Minnesota for even before I went to Wisconsin because my dad went to Iowa and he's an Iowa fan. So I grew up just watching the Hawkeyes because that's where he went to school. And even they hate Minnesota too. So Minnesota's just been my least favorite school for so long, my entire life.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about the game. We're going to talk. I actually have a lockdown coming up, crossover with the Gophers guy too. So there's going to be a lot more Gophers content this week. But on the surface, this is just, can we stop Mo? You know, Mo Ibrahim, the best running back in the Big Ten, leading the Big Ten in rushing, had 36 or 39 rushes last week against Iowa and really wore him down. And that's a great Iowa defense.
He has 1,500 yards on the season. I mean, the guy is an absolute workhorse. I think he has 230 carries or something around that. I mean, my gosh, he's a workhorse. But – and yes, that is going to be the story. And it's our best unit. It's best on best there. So that's great. A bigger story for me is how are we going to score and are we going to score and how much can we score? Minnesota has given up 29 points in the last 4 games. Now, they haven't played the best opponents and they've had Rutgers in there and they've had Nebraska in there. But, you know, 29 points is still 29 points. And, you know, Iowa is not a good offense, but they scored. I mean, everyone's having a hard time scoring on them. Mm-hmm. So, that instantly, I think about that. Can we run the ball on them? They've got a pretty good rush defense. And what will Graham Mertz do? Because, look, if we're going to score, it's going to have to be on him. We can't have an 8 of 18 performance for 83 yards. Can't be like that. And you know what? This is it. This is the last game of the year. This is probably the last game, I mean, well, other than the bowl game, that, you know, Bobby Engram, Al Johnson, Herrings, they're all going to be here for. So let's go out in style. Like, open up the playbook here. There's nothing to hold back on. This is it. This is for the axe. Like, in order to beat this team, we're going to have to play well because they're a good team. I mean, they're not amazing. We're not either. So it's going to have to be, it's going to come down to execution. It's going to come down to turnovers and who's going to have more of them and whether we have crazy ones that cost us 7 points. So a lot to look at, but I mean, scoring on this team is not going to be easy.
No, and they control the clock too. It's a very, you know, the over-under in this game I set to 34.5, I believe it is, which is just...
Take the under.
Yeah, right, and probably take the under, which this just screams like 17-14 Big Ten game, right? Wisconsin is favored by 3. They're at home. So it's really just a pickup, or a toss-up, sorry. You know, I'm interested in something you mentioned here. You know, we were playing the Nebraska game, and Bobby Engram went incredibly conservative. Not to go back to that, but first down runs, I think it was on 89% of their play. It was some ridiculous amount. And yeah, coming into this game, what do you have to lose if you're Bobby Engram, if you're that offensive staff? Because what they've done recently hasn't worked. So I would hope that they mix it up a little bit, get a little more creative, because this is a Minnesota team that's been tough to score on. And quite frankly, what do you have to lose if you're Bobby Engram at this point? Because what you've been doing hasn't been working.
For Bobby Engram, this is his final audition. If he wants the job next year, I mean, lay it out there. You're right. You're totally right. You said it right. You have nothing to lose. Open up the playbook. I mean, if you're the offensive coordinator, you know there's stuff in there. We just saw a QB draw, which we don't really see. We haven't seen the jet sweep for how many weeks? Just let's open it up and do something different. I mean, we're bowl eligible, so we've crossed that bridge. We're not competing for the Big Ten West, so okay. I mean, open it up. Like, let's show the fans what we've been wanting to see all year and take some risks.
Yeah. And by the way, how Jim Leonard's getting this job no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter if we win or lose this weekend, he's getting the job. But how amazing would it be to win the Axe back, beat Minnesota, end the season? And by the way, Jim, and you could announce it right after the game. Like, could you imagine that? And Jim Leonard has been announced the head coach, and he comes in with the podium with the axe and he chops down PJ Fleyway. I'm going too far with this. Like, just imagine that moment of beating Minnesota and Jim Leonard gets the job, right? It'd feel really kind of weird if we lost to Minnesota. And
it would. And think about this. We win that game where we finish the year 7-5, and he finishes 5-2 as head coach after inheriting a 2-3 team. I mean, what a great way to end your interim season and get things going. What a great talking point for recruits and for guys thinking about the transfer portal. Like, I mean, you finish on a high like that, that's going to have an impact on December 5th when it's time for people to decide whether they're going to stay or leave. And yeah, I mean, we will look back on this season, as I said earlier, as the lowest of where any Wisconsin fan wants to be. We lost a coach midseason. We struggled against Illinois. I mean, we had some rough moments. We win this game. We finished 7-5. That's not horrible. That's the lowest that we get, I'm in.
That's a great point, man. Because I remember we talked, I think right after Illinois, I think you and I talked, and we said, God, can they get bowl eligible? Like, what miracle would it take? Yeah, and I guess the miracles was Jim Leonard, right? Like, the straw that stirs the drink. And even his two losses, you have an overtime loss on the road to Michigan State. Not a good team, but like road Big Ten game in overtime. And then you have a road loss to Iowa in Kinnick. Like that's all you dropped. If you do end up beating Minnesota, like that's why Minnesota is such a linchpin game, right? Like, because if you win Minnesota, you can really paint this as a really successful thing. It's so hard to paint it as really successful if you do end up dropping to Minnesota just because it's Minnesota, because it's in Madison, because you need that axe back. And the other thing, you talked about Benton. You talk about a big boy game. Mo, you know, Ibrahim, their great center, that big offensive line for Minnesota. This is Benton's moment right here, because they're going to come at him 40 times this game.
Yep, he needs to clog that up. He needs to get penetration and let the linebackers get in there and do their job. I mean, that's exactly what he's there for. And I expect him to have, I mean, come on, man, he's a senior. Like, let's do it. Let's go out in style.
And he's a guy who deserves to go out with the axe, by the way, among many other seniors on this team. Grando, Torchio, Beach, a lot of really, you know, beloved is the wrong word, but a lot of seniors who have really put a lot of blood and time into this program.
Yeah.
Coming up, boy, I mean, listen, we're going to go live after the game too, but coming up next on Locked On Badgers, we're going to talk Wisconsin-Dayton, a really big game for the Badgers basketball team. Some of the numbers we're looking at and some key people to watch in this game. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers with Rajiv. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. They have you covered with every sport imaginable. All right, football, basketball, baseball, golf, NASCAR, UFC, esports. It's all there. Odds on all of them, plus casino games. You can play blackjack, roulette. It's a lot of fun. Do it responsibly, but live in-game betting, futures betting. If you want to be like me and bet on the Phoenix Suns winning the NBA title because you know I'm a Devin Booker honk, go ahead and do it. That's where some of my money is. But, you know, you can also make bets on the NFL, futures for all sorts of sporting events, where free agents sign, who's the next coach to leave, plus sports podcasts. It's all on BetOnline. Head to the website today. Grab your mobile device. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's get Rajiv back on here. Finish this up. Great show so far, man. Badgers Dayton, Badgers Flyers. This is a really big game kicking off an incredibly fun tournament in the Bahamas. Where are you at on this game? Is this an early season test? Does this matter? How excited are you for this one?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the first thing that comes to my mind is measuring stick, right? Like, this is going to be a measuring stick game for us to find out. We're playing it. We're playing a top 25. Well, just outside the top 25 team. They were until they lost to UNLV. You know, they're a good team. And not only is it just a game about it against Dayton, I love early season tournaments. Love them because it gets you kind of in that mode. You know, we all know what the college basketball season's about. It's about March. And this is kind of that good way to prepare for that. And if we win against Dayton, we're most likely going to play Kansas the next day. What an amazing 2 days of college basketball if we get to see Dayton and Kansas. And even if we lose, we could probably NC State. I mean, I love tournament basketball. But yeah, this team, they returned 7 of their 8 top scorers and all five returning starters. They've got a lot of talent on this team. And, you know, their big guy, Jerron Holmes, he's, you know, he averages, I think, 14 points right now. But they've got a lot of height. Mm-hmm. They have four of their key contributors are 6'8 and taller. 2 of them are 6'10. And that height is going to be a problem for us. So, I see this as a big, big measuring stick because, you know, this is a team that's going to be in the tournament. This is a team that's probably going to be potentially could be a top 4 seed, maybe top 5 line. So, I mean, yeah, like how good are we? We've got a lot of new players who we're really excited about. And we've got a lot. We know we have some talent and depth. So how are you going to do when you play against a team like Dayton? Can you hold your own? Are we going to have stretches where we don't score for 10 minutes? This is what we're looking for.
To answer your last question, yes, there are going to be maybe not 10 minutes. We are going to have some stretches where we don't score for a while. But everything you said is totally right. Like, measuring stick is a great way to put it. Dayton out of the A-10 has always been a really good mid-major team. You know, they can pretty consistently win 19 to 25 games. A couple years ago, they were a top 10-ish team. So this is a really good measuring stick, a lot of size, like you said, and a team that kind of plays a similar brand of defensive basketball to the Badgers. You know, they don't give up a lot of points. They slow it down. They're in the 300s in tempo. So it's a team that is going to maximize possessions. You can't turn it over against them. And defensively, they really, one of the key things I'm looking for, we talked about it before, this team is a better shooting team than we had last year with the Badgers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dayton really defends the three-point line well. Now they're 50th in the country in three-point defense. Obviously, there's 300-plus teams. So that's going to challenge the perimeter defense. And that length and the inside is going to make some of those shots that we missed against Green Bay. It's not going to be easier with four big guys in there. So I think low scoring, low tempo, it's going to be a really big game for Hepburn to control the offense and find easier looks for people.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of a three-point shootout, really. I mean, I feel like they've taken 95 threes in 4 games, so they've taken about 23 threes a game. That's a lot. I mean, I think we're at 22. So, you know, we know we shoot a lot of threes. They shoot a lot of threes. They've got a freshman. I'm going to mispronounce his name. Mike Shirovjomps, I believe is how you say it. He's from Mongolia. This guy has got a serious talent. And he was not on their team last year, obviously, but he's taken 23s. He's shooting 45%. I watched some of the UNLV highlights, a game that they actually lost. But this guy is really, really good. but I think the key for us defensively is, can we, you know, pressure that three-point line because they're going to shoot a lot of them, and can we defend Jerron Holmes inside? UNLV did a really, really good job of denying Jerron Holmes the ball, and he scored 2 points, and he struggled the whole game, and that's why they lost. So, you know, we've got to be able to find ways to get some of these guys out of their game because they've got all 5 of their starters can score, and they're all talented in different ways, and they're going to shoot a lot. So, yeah, I mean, I think a three-point battle, though, ultimately, it's going to come down to that. And if we're shooting the way that we can, you know, great. I mean, if Connor CG and Mr. Indiana can come through and just start draining threes, then we'll be fine.
He is, I was looking up for last show. He is leading the team in 3-point attempts per 40 minutes, which I love. I love it.
What is it? What is it? What is his 3 points per 40 total? I don't know.
He's shooting 6.5 threes per 40 minutes.
Six and a half. Okay. Which, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I love it because that's what we were wondering. Will he have the green light? And so far he has, and he's hunted his shot, and guard has been good with that. And I think that's the role you need to continue to use him in. The other part of this is that we've seen the rotation. So there's seven guys. You know, I wanted to kind of kick this back to you. There's seven guys who are consistently getting minutes. It's the five starters, and then it's Carter Gilmore and Asijan.
Yep.
Is there anybody from that second group that you're really looking to step up? It's the Lindsey, the Neath, the Kamari McGee group. Is there somebody there that you're surprised isn't playing as prominent of a role?
Yeah, 100%. It's Kamari McGee for me, because I think we all had expectations of him coming in and being a more higher impact player. He hasn't scored a point.
That's
a little surprising for the guy that transferred from GB. So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Chucky's going to need some rest, and I want him to come in there and be a reliable point, and I want him to step up. I mean, he's the guy that can work. We said before the season, he should be able to work his way into that rotation. We expected him in that rotation. Mm-hmm. And now he's kind of being one of those guys to fall down. And I want that to turn around now early and get in there. You know, be aggressive defensively. You know, he's so quick. He needs to drive. He needs to score. And if he does that, I think we could have a good game. So, yeah, he's the guy that I'm looking for to step up.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, another role I really thought he would be a little more active in is just picking up some fouls on the other team, getting in the paint, getting banged around, you know, getting teams in the bonus, getting to the free throw line. And we just haven't seen that yet. Now, you know, transferring to a new team, he is also still a young player. We lose that sometimes when we talk about transfers, thinking they're a little more veteran than they are. Like, so he's still feeling his way out. But it is interesting to me as well. Any final thoughts, Rajiv? I've already kept you for far too long. It's 30. We've almost gone 40 minutes. And as always, I really do appreciate you stepping on. But any final thoughts here with the basketball game, with Leonard, with anything, really?
Yeah, so the other thing, the last thing I'd say about basketball, which I think I've said before on the show, is one thing that really drives me nuts, which I really want to continue seeing us improve on, is late shot clock offense. I do not want to see Chucky getting the ball at the top of the key, you know, running an ISO play. I mean, look, he can do that, and I need him to perform there. He has to be able to do that to succeed, but we need to be more inventive at the end of the shot clock. When there's 10 seconds left, I want to see screens. I want to see a CG and running around the baseline, getting open for a three. I want to see Klesman. Like, let's get some action. Let's get some motion. Let's move things around quickly, efficiently, setting down screens, setting back screens, cutting to the basket. We don't do that late in shot clocks. And when we do, we're successful, and we don't do it very often. So I want to see that change. And the next two games can be two of the, you know, toughest non-conference games we're going to play. So let's see that go right now.
I love it. It's very well said. And that's been something Wisconsin struggled with for, in my opinion, a lot of years. You know, that's how they've run their late shot clock offense, essentially point guard ISO on the top, spread it out. And it's not overly efficient unless you have just a killer there. And Hepburn's great, but he's not a killer one-on-one.
And if he has that in his game, great. We'll use that at times, but we need to have other options. We need to be able to do things, run set plays. It's okay to run plays outside of the normal, typical offense. Run a set play and get a guy open.
Yeah, I agree. If we don't talk to everybody, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
This show will drop tomorrow, so the day before Thanksgiving, but definitely happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Really appreciate Rajiv as always. We're going to do this every Tuesday. We're going to have some reoccurring segments. I'm very excited about that. Hit the subscribe button, please. Don't let me lose to Minnesota this week. I swear to goodness gracious, I'll stop doing the show. I actually won't do that. I love it too much. But thank you for listening on Wisconsin, and we got a bunch more content coming up this week.